Have you ever thought about saying something and know you're going to get in trouble if you say it? But you're going to say it anyway. I was gone for a week and somebody got turned loose with a paintbrush. And when I saw it, I didn't know if it was the gates of hell or the gates of heaven. And I guess that depends on whichever sermon I'm preaching is going to be what that is. Whoever's responsible for that, don't tell them I said that, okay? Right. Let me tell you a story. Among the legendary stories about Abraham Lincoln is an account of his visit to a slave auction. He went there to observe and not to participate. He watched the unspeakable indignities of selling and buying human beings. And his response was a mixture of disgust and sadness and outrage. As he stood there, a young woman was brought to the block, and her eyes and her body language screamed defiance and hatred. She had been used and abused by her previous owners, and now it was about to begin all over again. The bidding began, and shortly into it, to everyone's amazement, Lincoln offered a bid. As the price went up, so did Lincoln's bids, until the auctioneer finally declared him the buyer. He paid the price, went over to where she was being held, and all the animosity that she felt was focused straight at him. And he looked at her and he said simply, "You're free." Dripping with defiance and distrust, she said, "Yeah, free for what?" And Lincoln answered, "Free to do anything you want to do. Free to go anywhere you want to go." Her appearance changed as she took in his words and realized that he really meant what he was saying. Lincoln repeated himself, "You're free, free to go anywhere you want to go." And she answered, "Then I'm going with you." Now, I like that story, and I got it off of a Church of Christ website. There's only one problem. It's not true. I wanted it to be true because it really fit as an illustration of something that I wanted to share. And I spent a number of hours trying to verify the truthfulness of this story. But it turns out that it's not true. Lincoln did, in fact, attend the slave auction in New Orleans in 1831, and he was disgusted at the way the slaves were treated, but this incident is not true. In January 2006, on CNN's Larry King Live, it was a man featured by the name of James Frey, F-R-E-Y. He was author of a book published in 2003, which had topped the bestseller list for the last 15 weeks at that time. It was a little book entitled A Million Little Pieces. It is a non-fictional autobiography of the author, graphically detailing his life as a recovered drug addict. And in his book, Frey tells of such things as going through root canal surgery without anesthesia, aborting a commercial plane covered with blood and vomit, of striking a police officer with his vehicles, of numerous times being beaten and jailed, spending 3 months in jail as a teenager because he was blamed for a car crash that killed two of his fellow students, all of this purportedly associated with drug and alcohol abuse. On October 26, 2005, Oprah Winfrey dedicated an entire episode of her show to interview Frey and feature his book on her book club. That book has now sold, consequently, over 3.5 million copies. However, a few months after that, a problem began emerging and has escalated since that time. An investigation by an online research group that searched police reports, court records, interviewed law enforcement personnel and other sources, found that Fry, quote, wholly fabricated or wildly embellished details of his purported criminal career, jail term, status as an outlaw, in the words of the book, wanted in three states. Fry had told the tearful Winfrey in their interview, if I was going to write a book that was true, I was going to write a book that was honest, then I was going to have to write a book about myself in very, very negative ways. Whenever the investigation began to be made public, Fry's lawyer sent letters to the investigation team who had suggested that he might owe Oprah and his readers an explanation for the discrepancies that were found in his book, and threatening a lawsuit if they published a story stating that Fry was a, quote, liar and that he fabricated or falsified information as reflected in this book. Fry also has admitted that he took steps to expunge court records relating to his supposed criminal activity. And he's also acknowledged that he embellished parts of the book, but said, and get ready for this, the emotional truth is there. After searching this information, I went to a New York Newsday online poll site, which asked readers the question, does it matter if some of the details were embellished? And the results, as far as I'm concerned, were pretty significant and revealing. 12.5% of the people said they're not sure if it's significant or not. 55% said no, it wasn't important because it's still an inspiring story. And 32.5% said yes, if this was not true, it would discredit this work. And it occurs to me that sometimes we can get ourselves in a situation that we don't even want to hear the truth because it goes against our agenda or our feelings. Do you remember why Paul or Luke said that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica? Because they received the word with great readiness, and every day they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true or not. And that's what made them noble people. And God was happy about that. But I'm afraid that today, if we're not really careful, we'll get to the point that the way we handle truth is pretty sloppy. And we just kind of broaden things out and broaden things out so that we have my truth, your truth, and whoever else's truth. And we get to the point where we ask the question and we think there's no answer, what is truth? As if there is no answer to that question. Paul asked the Galatian Christians, do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16? And what's the answer to that? The answer is yes. Sometimes you do become somebody's enemy because you tell them the truth. If you're going to speak the truth, you better be prepared to become some folks' enemy. Regardless of what your attitude or motive is, the Greek philosopher Plato said they deem him their worst enemy who tells them the truth. And there's a Turkish proverb that I really like. It says, if you speak the truth, have one foot in the stirrup. You better be ready to ride. Journalists have even reached a point where they've coined a new word to give some respectability to lying in print. It's called gonzo journalism. Historically, journalists have tried to hold members of their profession to a code of ethics that includes truthfulness and objectivity and fairness and accuracy. But in gonzo journalism, the usual, quote, the usual standards of accuracy have been subordinated to catching the mood of an event or a place. The word gonzo originated with the Irish in South Boston to describe the last man standing at the end of an all-night drinking marathon. And so the last guy standing was the Gonzo. Central to Gonzo journalism is the notion that journalism can be more truthful without strict observance of traditional requirements of factual reportage. This is a test of a society and an individual. The value that we place on truth and how we handle truth. There is nothing more important to the future of a society, and there is nothing that is more significant in determining where a society will go than the attitudes that we develop about truth. In Isaiah 59:14, it says, "There can be no justice without truth and righteousness and honesty. There can be no salvation without truth." Will Rogers said, "If you ever inject truth into politics, you'll have no politics." In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, "They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." You can't be saved without the truth. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. Then, if you hold my truth, you're my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free." And a lie will put you in bondage. Anything less than the truth will put you in hot water. Everything to do with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the gospel and the church and salvation is based on truth. And if you do not hold truth in the highest esteem, if you do not value truth above all else, you will not enter God's kingdom. God's kingdom is based on truth. Think about this a moment. You know what Satan's most basic, fundamental problem is? His attitude about truth. Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth. Not holding the truth. He is a liar and the father of all lies. John 8, 44 and 45. Remember Jesus' stories about the treasure hidden in the field and the merchant who found the pearl of great price? You remember those stories? Real short, just three verses there. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You ever ask yourself that just really basic fundamental question? Sometimes things go without being said or asked, and a little light comes on when we actually ask it. What was that pearl? What did that pearl represent, and what did that treasure represent? It represented truth. He found truth. And it was of more value to him than everything that he possessed. In fact, in this case, he had to divest himself of everything that he possessed in order to gain that. But it was worth it. And he did so gladly. You see, you lose your good influence by loosely handling the truth. People get to where they don't know whether to believe you or not. Paul exhorts Timothy as a young preacher to not fall into that trap. He says, "Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman or a master craftsman who does not need to be ashamed." Well, what would make you ashamed? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that word that's translated rightly dividing is a really neat word. It says, literally, straightly cutting. To cut straight. And it draws a picture, or at least to my mind, you've seen a child that's cutting out a picture with a pair of scissors, a little pair of scissors, and they got their tongue over here at the side with their teeth clenched on it, and they're concentrating on cutting that thing just exactly right and staying right on the line. That's the picture that draws. And he said, "Timothy, the way that you handle truth will get you in trouble. Cut it straight. Cut right straight down the line. And folks, we need to hear that today. Cut right straight down the line. Do it with love, but cut on the line. Don't take liberties with it. And I think it's worthy of noting that the very next verse says, he admonishes Timothy, hold yourself aloof from profane babblings, for they advance more ungodliness. Profane babblings, for they advance more ungodliness. When you don't tell the truth, ungodliness has a fertile ground. When you tell the truth, it roots out ungodliness. And the word here for babbling comes from two words, empty sounds. Now, I want to hit this lightly. I want to hit it hard, but I'm going to hit it lightly for the time being. I get lots and lots of emails, entirely too many. And I'm not discouraging anybody from sending me an email that is a good communication. But I get lots of this forward stuff, and you do too. Let me tell you one way you can cut it back. I'll give you a little piece of advice. Start correcting the falsehoods in it and send it back to people. I have done this in recent times, and to be real honest with you, I've made some people angry. And it's really interesting how many forwards are not accurate. And I'm going to touch this one time real lightly, but there are some forwards that are going out about some current events that are taking place that we are really sympathetic toward, about this bill that has not yet been passed, but is still this health care bill. There's some stuff going out about it that you may be very sympathetic toward, but be really careful about forwarding it. In fact, you can go online and you can read the bill for yourself. Last time I looked, it was 1,017 pages of legalese. And I decided I was going to waste about a half a day the other day because some people had sent some stuff to me and I wanted to see if it really was accurate. And I went to that site and I spent about 4 hours reading a section of that stuff. And what was sent to me was not accurate. Now, you may say, well, he's up here, he's a proponent of the bill. You would be wrong if you decided that. But I'm saying, let's be truthful. And as Christians, let's let our yes be yes and our no be no. And when somebody hears something from us, they can know that as best we were able to research and find out, that's the truth. And they can know that if Ken Stigall said something, then you can pretty well believe that's true. Now, I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, and I do things, and I say things that I shouldn't. I probably started this lesson out by saying something I shouldn't. But let's use the truth. Let's handle the truth right, and let's cut it straight. And when let's don't just forward something or say something because it advances our particular agenda. I've known some preachers who've lost their influence because they made a habit out of stretching the truth. In some cases, they did it to motivate others to do good things. And so most people just dismiss it. But in other cases, they did it to build a reputation for themselves or for personal gain. But regardless of motivation, let's let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. Let's speak the truth when we speak, and people can know that. It's such a liberating thing to make a consistent practice of telling the truth. You don't have to remember what you said. And that gets more important as you get older because I can't remember what I said. And so if you just make a practice of telling the truth, then you don't have to remember exactly what you said and how you said it. There are some things that are just too valuable to play with or to sell. Do you have anything in your house that you won't let your kids or your grandkids play with? You put it up out of sight so they can't get it because you don't want it broken? We need to value the truth that much. That when we handle it with care. We handle it with concern. We handle it with deliberation. We handle it with some reverence. And we speak the truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. And Jesus prayed in John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. If you're going to be used by God, then you must value truth and handle truth as a precious commodity. You know, whenever we decide we're going to stretch the truth just a little bit, it seems like it's just not that big a deal, right? But it is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. By your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. And so let's be reminded, truth is important. It's important that you value and handle God's word because it is ultimate, absolute truth. And he gives stern warnings about changing that. Revelation 22:18-19, he said, if any man adds to the words of this book, I'm going to add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if he takes away from the words, I'm going to take away his part in the book of life. And so how we handle truth is important. It is living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Handle it reverently and with respect. Don't take liberties, and feel free to take liberties with it. It's important that you guard your personal conversation and communication and value truthfulness and accuracy and honesty. Your reputation, your influence, and the Lord's church's reputation and influence depends on how you handle the truth. Your life and my life is a search for truth. We cheat our destiny. We stop our journey toward God when we start saying things like my truth, your truth, essential truth, relative truth. And let me leave you with these little lines right here, just as a reminder. Saying something doesn't make it true. And somebody else saying something doesn't make it true. And because something is written in a book doesn't make it true. And because you read it on the internet certainly doesn't make it true. And because someone, even if it's everyone, believes something doesn't make it true. And wishing something was true doesn't make it true. And because you love it or it appeals to you and your way of thinking and your agenda doesn't make it true. Jesus says, the words that I have spoken, they'll judge you in the last day. And you know what? I'm really glad that God can't lie, aren't you? If he could, I'd be in a mess. If he ever told one lie, you couldn't depend on anything he said. Let that sink in. God handles truth perfectly. He cuts it straight. And he demands that his children cut it straight and tell it right. And don't be so flippant with the truth. And don't just pass things on because they fit our particular agenda. Are you being honest with truth? And that includes obeying it. God has exposed every one of us to truth. We have been blessed to know God's word and have it available to us. And I hope you're taking advantage of it every day. Because when you lay that truth up on your heart, that'll direct you and your family from here on. And God has given us an incredible opportunity in this country. And you have the encouragement of brothers and sisters. If there's ever a place and a time for people to come to know truth, this is it. It's never been easier. It's never been better. But if we mishandle that truth, that opportunity may one day be gone. Or at least severely reduced. How are you handling the truth? Are you responding to and obeying the truth that God has made known to you? Are there things that you know that are true that God wants from you and you've just said, well, maybe later. Not now. Maybe later. Then you're not being honest with the truth. And it puts you in hot water. Cut the truth straight. When God reveals truth to you, act on that truth. Respond to that truth the way that God wants you to. and he'll take your life and mold it and move you in the direction that he wants you to be. You have an opportunity this morning to respond to the truth. If you have not, then God spared your life to give you one more chance to respond to the truth. I hope you'll take advantage of it while we stand and sing.
Good morning. This is Sean Johnson. Sean is one of our young men within our youth group here, and Sean has decided today that he is ready to get rid of the body of sin and put on Jesus Christ in baptism. And he has a lot of family members here that I've not had the chance to meet all of them, but his mom Vicky and I've lost your dad's name, just tipping my tongue. Sean as well, yes, so Sean as well is here, and his sister Lauren is also a member in our group. And if you don't know them, please take a chance to get to